So here's a question. Has anyone here ever missed an opportunity? One of those, if only moments. If only I knew, if only I'd done that, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? So what I want to do is I want to take you to one of those what if moments in scripture today. And you'll find that in Luke chapter 14, which is our scripture reading. I'm going to read verses 15 to 24 with you, but you need to go read 1 to 14 for yourself. So let me give you the background of where this starts. Chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus is invited for dinner at the house of one of the prominent Pharisees. Now we know they didn't invite Jesus because they liked him, because they wanted to be a friend to him. They just didn't like him. The only reason they invited him because they wanted to find a trap to catch him. So Jesus notices a few things during this time. He sees them as they come in. They're all running for the most important seats. And he says something about that. At the end of the banquet, of the dinner, he says to them, you know, you feel good about yourself, don't you? Oh, yes, because you invited your friends and your family and all the well-known people in the city and all the people that have all the money. And now you feel you did a good thing. Actually, it would have only been a good thing if you invited the lame and the poor and the sick and the blind, all of the people on the periphery in Jesus's time. And this immediately opens this opening, this gap for one of them to try and catch Jesus. So verse 15, and that's the only verse I'm going to read for now. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, my friends, this is a loaded statement. Politically, socially, ideologically, theologically, loaded. Now I'll explain. 700 years before this, the prophet Isaiah saw this prophecy, is Isaiah 25, 6 to 9, where when God came and brought salvation to people, he saw God put together a banquet on Mount Zion, and there was the table and all the nations and all the people who got salvation sat around the table, and God was the host at this. Unfortunately, over time, the rabbis and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they narrowed down the focus of this text. And we have physical documentation of that, from which was a wonderful, inclusive text to a very narrow-minded, exclusive text, which said, oh, no, everyone was not going to sit at the banquet. The Gentiles are not part of that. And in their thought, Gentiles was everyone who is not a Jew. And the unclean Jews would also not be part of that. That meant the Jewish people who married outside the Jewish people. So you can see what he's doing here with this question to Jesus. Kind of saying, well, Jesus, you know, we've arrived, right? We're going to be there. We're going to sit at the banquet. So you kind of telling us we should invite all these other people? What about this moment? What do you say about salvation? And of course, Jesus is always ready with an answer. And the way he answers them is by telling them a parable. So read with me a few of those verses. Verse 16. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they, all of them alike, began to make excuses." That's a big but. Underline that. "The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen.'" Make that 5 pairs of oxen. "And I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master." We'll finish the rest of the text a little later. So here's the scene. Jesus tells a parable. Parable is always a hypothetical, right? So he talks about a certain man. Later we'll know it's exactly God that he's talking about. Certain man put on this great banquet. Don't miss that word. And he invited many people. Don't miss that word. Because the word great in Greek is the word mega. You know the word mega. Mega everything. So this is the banquet of all banquets. Never going to be one like this again. And then he invites many people. In the Greek, that's the word polus. Means so many people that there might not even be enough room for all of them. But they're all invited. Come on in. But I wonder if you noticed that there's something missing. Those guests who are invited, there was no criteria, no specific characteristics that they had. It was just many. In the old days, there was a saying of hoi polloi. And with that, we meant the higher people. Actually, that's a misnomer. In the Greek, hoi means the, and polloi comes from polus, which means many. It's the multitude. It was just the multitudes, which is so in contrast with what the Pharisees did, right? We saw them scrambling for the seats of honor. And if you looked at their guest list, it was only the best and the most well-known that were welcome. Because here's the thing. In the theology, in the minds of the Pharisees, God was just as narrow as they were and small as they were. So their God only invited the worthy, according to them worthy. Only invited those who measured up according to their measuring. God only invited those who are honorable, their kind of honorable. And then Jesus just takes the carpet from under their feet and tells this beautiful story of God who throws the most beautiful party. And those who are invited, they shocked them to no end. But to help us to just ground the story for a second and to set us up for what comes next, I want to read you a story. And I might have read the story before, so forgive me if I have. But just go with me. Years ago, a Christian professor and writer named Tony Campolo went to Hawaii to speak at a conference. Now, because Tony flew in from the East Coast, he woke up early and ready for breakfast at around 3 a.m. But the only restaurant that was open was a little diner in the back of an alley in downtown Honolulu. So Tony got up, went in, and sat down at the counter and ordered some breakfast. A few minutes later, a few scantily clad women walked in, sat down next to him, and started telling their stories about the night's clientele. Now, feeling a little self-conscious, being the Christian conference speaker and all, Tony decided to do his best to try to slip away unnoticed and move to a different table so he would not be surrounded by prostitutes. Now, before he could sneak away, he heard one of the women say, "Did you know tomorrow is my birthday?" One of her friends snapped back sarcastically, "Well, so what? Do you want me to buy you a cake or sing happy birthday?" The woman, whose name was Agnes, replied, "No, I don't want anything from you. I'm just saying it's my birthday, that's all. I've never really had a birthday party before." After the women left, Tony asked the man behind the counter, whose name was Harry, if these women came in every night. And Harry said, "Yeah, they did." And that's when Tony had his idea. At 2:30 the next morning, Tony returned with a huge sign that read, "Happy Birthday, Agnes." And Harry had prepared a giant birthday cake with icing, candles and all, and the whole diner was decorated. This party, or word of the party, must have gotten around because there were prostitutes from wall to wall. And then at 3:30 on the dot, Agnes and her friend walked into the diner, and the whole room erupted with, "Happy birthday, Agnes." Poor little Agnes. She just lost it. She could hardly stand up. She didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. It was just a mixture of both. "Blow out the candles. Let's cut the cake," the people cheered. Agnes looked down at the cake and said, "If it's all right with you, I mean, is it okay if I just keep the cake for a little while?" She picked up the cake like it was the Holy Grail itself, and she promised to be right back, and she left and took the cake home and put it in a place where it would be safe. Then the room got very quiet. Everyone knew something really significant had just happened for her. Tony said, "Can we all pray together for Agnes?" So in the middle of the night, in a hole-in-the-wall greasy spoon diner, Tony Campolo, Harry the cook, and half the prostitutes of Honolulu prayed for Agnes. They prayed God would be good to her. They prayed God would lead her in her life, and they prayed she would always know just how loved she really is. After the prayer, Harry looked over at Tony and said, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of a church do you belong to anyway?" Tony said, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." I don't know how many churches would throw a party for a prostitute at 3:30 in the morning. But I know my God, and I know our God. God is a God who throws parties for prostitutes who are lost and broken. God is a God who throws this huge party for the outcasts, for those who are persecuted, for those who have been left behind, for the addicts, for the homeless, for the brokenhearted, for the lonely. That's who our God is. A God who throws a party. Doesn't ask who you are, where you come from. All he says, come. Come into my house. Come and be loved. Experience my love of a son that sought you wherever you were. Come into my house and experience fellowship. Fellowship without boundaries. Love, unconditional love. Just come. You're invited. Just say yes. Because you see what happens at the party. Relationships are restored. Forgiveness is found and forgiveness is given. Broken hearts are healed. The lonely find someone who cares. See, my friend, sometimes I think we forget that we're part of that crew. We're not at that table because we can look at ourselves and say, look at me. Look at what I've done. We're there because of God's grace. We are there because of God's seeking love that sought me where I was lost. And then I was found and I could see that it's not me. It's all about God's grace. But see this. Here's the thing. It's not about our worthiness sitting at the table. It's all about our willingness to sit at this table. Just look at verse 17 with me again. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." See, in those days, you received two invitations. The first invitations with months ahead of time to say, "Party, please RSVP so that we can get enough food and enough drink for everyone." They would RSVP and say, "Yes, I'm coming." And then on the day of the banquet, they would send the servants out to say, "Okay, everything's ready, party's ready, doors are open, come on in and come." And this is what happens. And then there's the but that I told you about, verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. How rude. Remember I said it's not about worthiness, it's all about willingness. They were invited. They said yes. And then there's the banquet. The first one says, I just bought a field. I have to go check it out. That's a flat lie. It's just an excuse. You didn't buy a field and check it out that day. In that place, it's such a dry place. It's such a desert place that you would check this out for months and weeks before you would even think of buying this thing. It's an excuse and a lame one at that. Second one, just as lame. I just bought 5 pair of oxen. I have to try them out. No. When you look at them at the auction, you try them there, see if they'll work together in the yoke. And then you buy them. Lame excuse. The third one, just as lame. I just got married. No. The invitation was sent long ago. And they knew about this and they said, yes, they would have known about the wedding. Wedding was a week-long affair. Lame excuse. It's all about willingness. Here's the thing. I think sometimes this is where the problem comes in. Good excuses. But the good excuses become stumbling blocks in me saying yes to God. And that's where the problem comes in. The problem becomes that these things become more important in my life than the invitation, come to my banquet. And I'm not saying that these things are not important, and they can be important in our lives, and they can be good. But what often happens is that we love them so much that we love God so little, and then our God becomes weak, and our God becomes small, and our God becomes insignificant, and then we run around all over the place to find whatever it is. That's going to take me to the party. That's going to bring me joy. That's going to bring me peace. But unfortunately, all it does is it makes me anxious, and it makes me weary, and it makes me broken, and it makes me searching. But here's the thing. Those are at risk are not the Agneses of this world that know they have nothing, that know that there's no way that they could ask to be invited, that know that they could never have said, I am good enough. Maybe the words of Matthew 5 are important here. Blessed are those who realize their need for God, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those at risk, my friends, of not making it to the banquet, are those who think, I am good enough in myself. I can depend on my things. I can depend on my world. I can depend on who I am. So can I ask you? No, I'm going to ask myself the question. And if you want to, you can ask yourself the question. What are the things where I say no to Jesus? Where are the moments where I think that I am strong enough and I can just do this on my own and I'm good enough? What are the things that are hurting me as I walk in my relationship with Jesus? Where I've lost that moment where I'm so excited about that cake. And translate cake into any word that you want that was given. When God sent His Son to come call me in the back alleys and the dark alleys and the broken places. And I thought, I don't know. Let me end the story. Verse 21, the servant came back, reported to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. And then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. See what happens. He invites, And then they just throw it back with all of their so-called well done excuses. Did we start with, did you miss an opportunity? That if only moment. They missed an opportunity. And the host, within his rights, gets angry. But I want you to see this amazing moment. In the anger of the host, he turns his anger into grace. And he says, go out into the streets, go out into the alleys, go out into the dark places, and go and invite those that the world thought they were not good enough. Go get them and fill my house with those. That's me, my friends. Go find them where they're lost and broken and in need, and tell them they can come. And then there was enough room for them, and there was more. And he says, now go out, go to the back roads and all these other places. Go find them. Just bring them in, because I have this huge banquet and this place for so many people. It's not a narrow text. It's a wide text. Come, bring them. And they filled that place. But there was a warning. Not one of those who was invited will come to my banquet. Don't miss the opportunities. Don't for a moment have to walk with the if only moment. The invitation is out there, and it's free. All you have to do is to say yes. Amen. Please pray with me. Father God, was wonderful to be in your presence. Such an amazing moment to just walk through this parable with you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for telling this parable. Gives me hope for how many of us, Lord, me, would not be worthy to sit at that table. But because of you, we are invited and we can sit. Because you changed our status. And we are called your children, and we belong to you. Thank you for that. Thank you for bringing us in, making us part of this huge banquet. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we are really going to sit with you and enjoy this moment and see you face to face. But help us then to not narrow down your gospel, but to be wide open and to accept and to bring in all of the many to your great banquet. We glorify your name as we pray in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
On Sunday, July 19th, you are invited to join us at the table of the Lord. Once again, we are going to celebrate communion, and we would love for you to join us from your home. It's the Lord's table, so even if you are virtually visiting with us, or you aren't a member at Central, you are still welcome to join. To get ready, before you join our live stream on July 19th, you will need to prepare enough grape juice and bread for each person in your house who will be participating. You will also want to take a moment to talk to your children about what we are going to do. A time is coming when we can all be together at the Lord's table again, but until then, the Lord's table can be at your coffee table, or your kitchen table, or wherever you are joining us from that morning for worship.